This week, the buzz is all about Halloween Horror Nights, but we're also counting down the top five coolest queues at Universal Orlando. From the Bob Varley Studio, this is episode 14 of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. The Diz Unplugged Universal Edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Oh, hey, everyone. We are back once again to talk about all things Universal Orlando. I'm Craig Williams.
Hey, guys. I'm Sean Thompson.
And thanks for tuning in with us once again. But before we get started with everything that we have to actually talk about today, I just wanted to take a brief PSA moment to remind everyone about our Facebook channel.
We have channels on Facebook?
Our YouTube channel.
Wow. Okay.
Our Facebook page.
We have a Facebook page.
And our Twitter page. So, you know, we have
Those things or should we just link to, what do we?
Okay, then you say them.
All right, we have facebook.com/disunplugged. Twitter.com/disunplugged.
Yep.
www.com/wdwinfo.com. I got on a roll, sorry.
So the whole point of that is if you like what you're doing on there, you know, go ahead, like, share, comment, yes, all that stuff. We get a kick out of whenever you show us that you actually care.
Or love it, or hate it. Yep. I mean, either way.
Yeah, let us know. I mean, if your planned response is, I don't like Universal and have no plans on going, let us know that too.
I've never heard that one before.
Never once.
Yeah.
But on to happier things later on in the show. We're going to be listing out what we consider the top five coolest queues at Universal. And by that, we mean queues that will not only keep you cool in the summertime.
Yeah.
Because right now it's summer. But also the lines that have the most interesting things, in our opinion, that can distract you from what you're waiting for.
It's nice when words can mean two things.
I know.
It's like cool as in, oh, it's a nice temperature, but cool as in, hey, this is neat.
It's funny that it worked out that way. So we'll be getting to that in just a slight little bit. But before that, I think we have to talk about what's buzzing on the grapevine.
I didn't know you were going to read that.
Ha 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 ha. Jokes.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
Yeah. Okay.
Should we laugh for 8 minutes?
We're going to move on from that.
All right.
But yeah, here's what's the buzz this week. First, Face Off is announced as the first scare zone at Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah.
So far Universal has officially announced houses based on The Walking Dead, and last episode we talked about From Dusk Till Dawn, the El Rey Network version.
I was not familiar with it.
Yeah, not the good version, the El Rey Network version.
Oh.
But in the past 2 weeks since we recorded that episode, we've had two scare zones announced. Last year, the main theme for all the scare zones was actually The Walking Dead.
Yes.
So, except for the chainsaw guys, which randomly just got thrown in there because you have to have big, burly men with chainsaws.
With chainsaws and lots of fog.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, that's necessary. But this year, it's not all based on one TV show. Even though The Walking Dead's coming back, it's going to be on separate things for the different scare zones. As I already mentioned, Sci-Fi Channel's original programming, Face Off,
which
is going to be a scare zone.
It's going to be a scare zone. So basically, Face Off is kind of a Project Runway type show where there's contestants that are designers and makeup artists who do kind of like fantasy makeup, a lot of prosthetics, kind of like over the top.
Yeah, the kind of makeup design that you're going to see in horror movies, sci-fi. We talked about on the Disney World show it a couple times, Jim Henson's Creature Shop Challenge. I know I was a fan of that. Also sci-fi original programming, but it's kind of like that weird creature design, but they do it on humans instead of on.
There's puppets. Live actors. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they build up these kind of big, crazy, faces. Some of them are masks, all this kind of stuff. And the cool thing about it is most of them are, if not all of them, are original creations.
Yeah.
So they're not saying, oh, okay, please make a live Shrek in front of me.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's not the goal. The goal is to come up with a cool creature that then you create. So I think that this has the potential to be really really unique.
Oh, yeah. No, and each week has a different theme and all that stuff. I mean, it's a reality show. We know how those work. But actually, season 5, the winner of that was Laura Tyler, and she's a Universal Orlando makeup artist. So she's at home, and she's local. A winner of this. Yeah. And one of her creations is actually going to be featured in the Scare Zone. But in total, there's going to be 10 creatures. And the way Universal described it is the horrifying characters will inhabit 5 immersive areas within the Scare Zone. Ooh. From eerie scarecrows that go to great lengths to protect a spine-chilling farmland to ghoulish brutes that haunt dilapidated castle ruins.
Nice. You read that well.
Thank you.
What accent was that? Julie Andrews?
If you say so.
It was spot on, I think.
So at this point, I'm guessing that you're going to have 5 characters out at a time in the Scare Zone.
Sure.
And you know, they'll switch off halfway through. But my best guess is that it's going to be in that wooded area between Hollywood and Kid Zone. Last year, it was kind of like tents and kind of like a camping scene, like you were in the woods in The Walking Dead. And a couple of years ago, it was like a bunch of trick-or-treaters in the woods. And, you know, it's a very spooky area because they put in a lot of fog. And
it's a pretty narrow area, too. And then right next door are the apartments where the team members live, the Garden of Allah villas.
Exactly. Right?
That's where every team member lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your jokes just aren't really landing today. But
wow,
that's
that was
fine.
Rude.
They does not. But I think what's cool about this Scare Zone in particular, we have the next one we're going to talk about. But this is one that I don't think people are going to walk through and generally be extremely frightened. Just because, first off, if there's only 10 characters total and they put 5 out of time or 7 or however many, there's not a lot in there to like really, really scare you.
Okay.
Because normally, you know, there's a good amount of creatures around, walking around.
But it's a small space, too.
It's not that small. I don't think it's small, personally. I think if there's 5 out at a time, it's a really big area to only have 5 people.
We also don't know how big they are. They could be on stilts. They could be kind of larger than life kind of things.
That's true. I just have a feeling that it's going to be a situation where the characters themselves aren't really that scary, but it's more that Horror Nights element where you look at it and you're like, oh, that's just really cool.
Well, I'm excited to see kind of like the craftsmanship that goes into this. Well, it's like the whole show is based on. These are people actually doing this work.
Yeah, and season 7 is on the air right now, and actually whatever the winning design is, that is going to that's going to make it into Horror Nights. So
it's
I don't
like
know
Bryant Park Fashion Week.
I don't know when the season's going to be over, but it has to be over before it starts, obviously, or they're just going to start with 9 and be like, okay, well, you have to build something right before we go. But
I think it's interesting. We'll find out. Okay.
Yeah, we'll find out more on that later. The second Scare Zone that was announced about 5 days later that I think is slightly more exciting, even though we already discussed it as a teaser that everyone kind of expected it to happen, and it now has been confirmed officially.
Yes.
The Purge.
The Purge 2.
The Purge.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you really liked it, so I figured you were going to talk about it, but it seems you don't want
to. Well, go ahead.
Okay, well, so The Purge was officially announced a lot of speculation was heavily pointing towards it. And the Universal official blog said that it's going to take over the New York area of the park. So I think that's a really good fit for it. If you're unfamiliar with The Purge, hopefully, can you explain it? I just watched The Purge for the first time last night.
I just watched it a week ago for the first time. The basic idea of The Purge is that one night a year for exactly 12 hours, all crime is legal. So you can't get in trouble for doing anything. And most people use it to murder people because the idea is you get rid of people you don't like, whether it's annoying neighbors, whether it's your boss, you know, you go around and you kill these people and then nothing can happen to you. You just have to survive the purge. So some people just try to survive. They lock up their house for 12 hours and they just make the safe house, whatever. Other people go out and actually try to kill people. So that's basically the idea of. I'd imagine the Scare Zone is going to just be a free-for-all where people are going to try to be killing you and there's no consequence.
Yeah, I mean, Universal teased that there was going to be chainsaw-wielding paramilitary men So there we go. Our chainsaw people that we expected, they are going to be showing up there. And then the one other thing they kind of talked about that I am not really quite sure about, but elegant woman ready to auction off the unsuspecting. That will be in there too.
This is where I feel like maybe the second movie comes in.
Yeah.
Because that makes no sense to me, and I've only seen the first movie.
Yeah, the second movie just came out about a week ago, so we haven't got a chance to see it yet. Wanted to make time, just really didn't get around to it. But from the way it's being described is that it's going to incorporate elements from the first movie and the second movie all together in one. So I'm guessing like in the first movie they have a gang of ruffians who are wearing creepy masks, and I think those ones are gonna, it would be a shame if they didn't have those masks in there. They scared me.
They're oddly shiny, perfect children masks.
Yeah.
Like rosy cheeks and like, I don't know, weird lipstick and
but
stuff.
But behind all that, they kill you.
Well, yeah, they're taking part in the purge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I hope that this actually extends all the way out to the front gates, because like last year they did a Walking Dead pre-show before you were allowed in. They had a little show.
I remember that, and it scared me to death because I didn't know what was happening. And this was my first ever experience with Halloween Horror Nights. And we're standing in line. I mean, there must have been hundreds of people waiting to get into the park. And all I hear is like, now at the time I thought it was the Halloween Horror Nights theme song.
Yeah.
It turns out that it's actually the theme song to Walking Dead. But they're playing that music, and then like they're screaming, and like the gates are kind of shaking, and all I can see is over people's heads, and it's like really dramatic. So it would be cool if they did something similar to that to kind of kick off every night.
Like in the movie, to kick off the purge, all these alarms start going off.
Mm-hmm. And you hear these people's safe house gates going down.
Yeah.
So it's like this big dramatic, oh, my house is in lockdown.
Whatever. And that's what I can imagine. Like as it clicks to 7 o'clock or whenever it's about to start, you hear all these like just sound effects coming. Before they open up the gates for everyone to go in, you start hearing these gates go down, and then to announce like Horror Nights is starting, you hear that alarm go off and the purge is about to start. I mean, honestly, the purge could have been the total theme for all of the scares.
I completely agree, because there's always when the purge begins, like you said, there are those alarms, but then there's also those kind of government announcements that go on the TV, like this is your monthly test, and it says this is your alert that the purge has begun. For the next 12 hours, all crime is allowed. And
well, and they have like the purge feeds in the movie, so they show different people getting killed all the time. Like that could be put on screens all around the park. I mean, this was, we sound like a commercial for Go See the Purge. It's not that great of a movie. It's just for horror movies, it's good.
Yeah. No, I thought it was a good, I like the idea. Yeah. I like the whole concept. I think it's interesting.
More suspense thriller, not horror.
It is.
I should take that back.
Yeah, I would say suspense thriller.
Yeah.
You took it back.
I did.
On the record.
But I mean, in terms of what it is, it's awesome, and I think it would have fit in perfectly for the event.
And I think they'll probably judge how it goes. If the second purge does well, I'm sure they'll make a third.
Yeah,
I mean that's what they do. If anything is remotely successful, they'll make four or five of them. So
I know.
But maybe next year the theme will be all the purge.
They just don't have Ethan Hawke or Lena Headey.
They do not have they sexy. Don't. Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Oh well.
What can you do? But moving on to that. The next thing we have to talk about is the Halloween tease that happened on Facebook and Twitter on July 17th.
Okay.
So the Halloween movie franchise and Michael Myers have a Twitter and Facebook page.
Of course.
And no one follows them. I think like 500 people.
I have them sent directly to my phone.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. They actually give me a phone call, like it's on my landline.
That important for
you.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, so no one really follows them except a couple of people.
Mm.
And on July 17th, as I mentioned, they put out a picture that says, look who's coming back for Universal Orlando's Halloween Horror Nights 24, with an announcement at the bottom that says, you know, follow our pages and you have a chance to win free tickets to the event. We don't have a full size graphic brought up because they took it down.
They did.
Within a couple hours because
some social media intern probably messed up.
Well, yeah, here's the deal. Universal never made the official announcement that this was actually happening. So it got deleted. As of now, Universal still hasn't made any official announcement.
They could have changed their mind.
I hope they did. However, some people said that they could see a Halloween type facade back by the tents. So if you're not familiar with Horror Nights, a lot of the houses are put into the sound stages that are around Universal Studios because it is a studio, a working studio, although it doesn't work that often except for La Voz Kids, which is the Spanish version of The Voice for children.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, that's the only thing filming in there right now. So those are where most of the houses take up, but then they also have these temporary tent warehouses that they set up back behind Men in Black and The Simpsons and this giant field, and that's the main area for that. And so there's two that are always back there, and guests reported that they saw one of the two tents looked like the Halloween house in the front. So you walk in and...
With Jamie Lee Curtis, she's outside supervising.
Oh, well, what else is she doing right now?
Her Activia contract is over, I think. I think she's plenty regular, so I think she's gone back, and now she's doing Halloween stuff again.
Good to know.
Yeah.
I'm glad you could help us with that update.
Well, you know, that bifidus regularis, yeah. Four people will like that. It's my family.
Good. I don't know how excited I am about it. I love whenever they try to incorporate horror movie icons in to the parks. Halloween has never, I mean, it's perfect for Halloween. It's called Halloween.
You could say it's literally perfect.
I love the first movie. The second one is good for what it's worth. And then I haven't watched any of them.
Honestly, I think I've only ever seen the first.
I love the first one.
I don't understand what the H2O thing. Water? It's on a lake?
It was 20 years later. It's Halloween 20 years later.
Oh, I thought it was like water or something.
I hate you.
Are they on a cruise ship? Right, I know. I honestly thought it was water. Are you sure they didn't?
Yes, it's Halloween 20 years later, H2O. It's a pun, but it
How is it a pun? It's not a pun.
I don't know what
I don't get it.
Okay, so I don't know if it'll come. It probably will. I mean, the Halloween Twitter page really made it seem like it's going to come.
They probably just screwed the pooch and did it too early.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what happened with The Purge too. I never saw the announcement but went out, but someone said something about that and you know how stuff snowballs.
Okay. So I do.
We'll see if it comes. But before we move on, I just wanted to kind of discuss briefly about Universal leaning heavily towards movies and TV shows.
Sure.
For the past couple of years.
Yeah.
Just because in 2011, only one house was actually based on a movie, and that was The Thing. Not the original Thing, the John Carpenter one, but the remake that came out, and I think like 14 people saw.
Oh, okay. The same 14 that subscribed to the Halloween Facebook page?
Exactly.
Okay.
Oh, that was 500, but it was rough. But that was the only house that year that was based on a movie.
Because then, they used to do a lot of original content.
Yeah, I mean, there was original, and that year they had... one of my favorite houses ever, HR Blood and Guts, which was this holiday house, and they took you through all the holidays in a Arbor Day. There was this giant tree that ran out.
Is it an HR Puffin Stuff reference?
Kind of, in that way.
Okay.
But it was scary because stuff would still jump out at you, like the pilgrim on Thanksgiving would shoot a gun. And
you did tell me that stuff. Okay.
But the best was Arbor Day. I mean, it's just a guy in a tree suit that would run out at you.
It's the scariest of all the holidays, really.
Anything. Yeah. I mean, it's just really creative stuff. They really knocked it out of the park that year. That was my first year going, so I might be a little biased. But I loved whenever it was all these original concepts. And then 2012 happens, and we have three houses based on movies, TVs, or video games. And that was Walking Dead, Silent Hill, and then Universal's House of Horrors, which took all the old Universal legends.
Okay, like the
Creature from the Black Lagoon, the Mummy, Boris Frankenstein, Carlos, all that. They were all in there. And then they had two inspired by celebrities.
These are the best.
The Penn and Teller nuked Las Vegas. And Alice Cooper, Welcome to My Nightmare. So five houses were based on that. That year only had seven houses.
Okay.
So that left two original houses. And then jump to last year, 2013, five of the eight houses were based off of movies or video games.
Yeah, this
TV.
Was my first year. So I remember personally, my favorite was a completely original one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the La Llorona,
yeah.
Which was based on kind of like an old Mexican or Hispanic folklore. Folklore.
Yeah.
You could say folklore.
Yeah.
And it was just really interesting. It was really well done. I didn't have any kind of preconceived notion of what the story was. So it was cool to go in and kind of experience the whole legend. And there was, you know, creepy ladies in pews and a church and all the stuff. It was fantastic.
But then like an American Werewolf in London.
Which I absolutely loved.
Evil Dead.
Yeah.
Like all those were great.
Cabin in the Woods.
Cabin in the Woods.
All
not Resident Evil.
Resident Evil. No, I didn't like
that. No, that wasn't good.
So why do you think that they're leaning so much on these properties? Is it because people connect with them and they think they want people to come and explore them and be familiar with them?
I have no idea.
Because it can't be cheaper, right? Technically, you would think you'd have to pay the royalties and you'd have to come up with your own story based on that rather than coming up with something that's probably public domain.
Yeah,
or your own idea.
I really don't know what it boils down to. I know that whenever The Walking Dead happened, a lot of people actually, they looked at that and they got excited about it because
it's marketing stuff. It was, you know,
a huge,
you can advertise all that.
TV show.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it's right there, and it drove so many people there, and merchandise was sold, and everything was great with it. However, it just, for me, it felt like it was just another zombie thing. I know it had scenes from the movie in there, or the TV show, and then it was like, oh yeah, I know that, but it just kind of felt cheap to me. The first time that I think it was done really, really, really well was in American Werewolf in London, mm-hmm. and that was my absolute favorite house, by far, like a million.
I mean, John Landis was
open.
Here. He was consulting. Yeah. I mean, he was a big part of it.
So at the end of the day, I know it can be done well, but I think a lot of it does just come down to the fact that, you know, they need to come up with ideas. And whenever you have 8 ideas for houses or sometimes 7, that does start to get taxing.
Okay.
I mean, that's a lot
of course
originality.
Yeah.
And a lot of people aren't original sometimes. I don't want to say anything negative about it. Michael Aiello, one of the creative heads behind Halloween Horror Nights, I mean, he's a genius with the stuff he's done.
He does a fantastic job. Oh, yeah.
He's also helped out a lot with the Harry Potter section doing the shows there. I mean,
he's so passionate about what he does. Yeah. I mean, we've got to meet him a couple times through some of our press stuff, and you can just tell that what he does, I mean, he's so into it. And
yeah.
Yeah.
No, so I think I don't know. We'll see what happens this year. But right now, only the movie TV show based houses have been announced. So I really hope that something actually comes out that's original soon. Mm-hmm. But then we have to look at it that it's still very, very early on in the year. A lot of the announcements last year weren't made until I believe the middle of August. Looking back on when announcements were made last year. So it's still early. I can't get crabby that we've already heard about so much whenever it isn't even August at this point yet at the time we're recording it. So we'll see what happens, but I hope we start hearing announcements of brand new original ideas and they try to get back on that trend. I guess that's what I wanted to get back.
I completely agree.
Good. So That's the buzz.
It is the buzz.
Fun word.
Yeah.
But as we said, we have coming up the top 5 coolest cues. But before we discuss anything else, I just wanted to go back to our whole contest that we've been running. The first thing I need to say, thank you guys for commenting and submitting answers and, you know, really participating with us through all this. And The first thing I need to say, though, is Michael Flynn, you won our contest for the blurred image.
I'm pretty sure he just got upset that I thought he was the Lord of the Dance. I think that was it. He gets confused for Michael Flatley a lot.
Most likely.
Yeah.
So, Michael, I reached out to you, and you haven't answered me yet. It's probably, you're not friends with the Diz Unplugged Facebook page, so it's probably in your other box. But it really hurts that You haven't reached out to us because we want to give you your $50 American Express gift card that can be used at Universal Orlando because American Express is the official.
You're exactly right. This sounds like a commercial, but yeah.
Yeah. So it's the official card holder.
Oh, it's a great prize.
Of Universal Orlando.
Write us back because we really want to send it to you. And we thought what you said was funny.
Yeah.
Or no, you got the answer right. I don't remember what it was.
It was good. So he got the correct answer. It was Poseidon's Fury.
Oh, yeah. You didn't say anything funny. You said something correct.
Please, Michael Flynn, get in touch with us on Facebook, on our Diz Unplugged page on there, or Sean, or myself,
you
or
can tweet
whoever you're
to
friends
us or
with,
something.
Just get in touch with us. But moving on to the last week's fun puzzle, we wanted to give you a little something different, a little bit of a captioning type picture. But we showed you a picture of Robbie Coltrane, Donald Gleason, and Warwick Davis.
We did. I don't think this is interesting. Okay,
it is interesting.
We're having lots of technical stuff, but we're okay. Well, you know what?
Maybe we didn't show you this
picture.
We
don't have a photo for you.
We don't have a photo right now. I'll bring it up. But it was basically a picture
of... Let's describe it. We can reenact it.
Describe it right now.
You can be Warwick Davis. We were basically at the Leaky Cauldron, and the three actors are sitting in front of us. And so you basically see Donald Gleason, Robbie Coltrane, and Warwick Davis sitting in a row in their chairs. They all have completely different expressions. Donald Gleason's cracking up. Robbie Coltrane looks... very focused and pointing a wand, and then Warwick Davis looks, I don't know, mad or something.
Short.
Oh, wow, okay. We love you.
I do.
So basically, we have this photo, and we ask you to caption it. So you want to go ahead and move on from there, or we will have the photo eventually and in post.
Do you want to announce the winner of it?
Sure, I will.
So
you guys submitted your captions or your funny thoughts, whatever, for them. And the winner is...
The winner is from Sarah H. Medusky.
There we go.
On Twitter. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Sarah guessed that Robbie was saying, "Hey, Donald, how much would you pay me to throw Warwick through that Quidditch hoop?"
Perfect.
And yeah. I gotta say, she must have been there because she was 100% spot on with what the picture looked
like.
Amazing, her toletic chemity.
I don't think that's a word. Let's move on.
But yeah, it's
she had a great caption, so she wins. Why this is taking so long?
Oh, hey, look,
that was so we worth all that awkwardness.
Have the picture. Yay! Look at that's the picture. So he's throwing through the hoop.
Yes.
So. Thank you, Sarah H. Medusky. We will be reaching out to you on Twitter to get your address for your $50 American Express gift card that can be used at Universal Orlando Resort. And
you know what? I heard once that the American Express is the credit card company of the Universal Orlando Resort.
It is.
I heard that once.
So this week we actually have a new fun game for everyone to play. This is going to actually require... a little bit more knowledge of Universal.
Well, I don't know if we do have that. So.
Never mind. We don't have a game. It'll wait till next week.
Yeah, all right. That's all we got. Okay.
So, moving on from that, we're going to head on to our spotlight on the universe.
We should, because we got something funny to talk about.
We do. The top four coolest cues.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. It's the top five coolest cues.
Okay. That was a good joke. It's really funny when you say one number, what you really mean another.
It is.
Yeah.
So,
do you want me to describe a little bit about it? So basically, it's the summer. So it's super hot outside. A lot of times you just want to get inside, whether it's a show or maybe certain attractions have what we've discovered is really cool cues. So you can go inside, you can spend some time in there. Sometimes there are longer cues. And in the summer, honestly, you just want to get out of the sun.
Yeah.
So we have a list of the indoor cues that are both cool in temperature, so you can get out of the sun, and you can look around and see different things.
Yeah.
Yes. So shall we start with number five?
Let's start. Okay. So our number five coolest cue is the Hollywood Horror Makeup Show.
Yes.
So we had a lot of discussion about... whether or not we would actually consider this a cue or not. So the Horror Makeup Show is a show in itself, and a lot of shows don't actually have cues, and this one really doesn't either. You walk into this room, and it's got all these props and memorabilia, and so it's literally just a giant room.
It's a theater, so you walk inside the theater doors, and then you have a big lobby, like you said. But the best part about it is that there are these exhibits that you can walk around and look at some of the different things. A lot of them are props from certain horror movies.
Yeah.
Some of them are more of kind of like the face-off things like we were talking about, the prosthetics, kind of the makeup work that goes into this.
Oh, yeah. And like they show like Bela Lugosi's shoes and from Frankenstein. I guess I should have. That wasn't Bela Lugosi. That was Boris Karloff.
Okay.
That was my bad.
Yeah.
We'll strike that out in post. We'll
take that out.
I know your favorite part was actually the creepiest thing in the world.
The scariest thing in this lobby is Jim Carrey's The Grinch.
Yeah.
Yes. His mask is in there. I was too scared, but I took a photo of it.
Yeah. So if you ever want to find out what Jim Carrey puts on his face in The Grinch, because that's not his face.
You can find it is his face.
You're going to see it at the horror makeup show.
Yes.
And I mean, it really is kind of a museum for all things kind of horror in itself. And like there's even Horror Nights props in there. And it's good.
It's cool. It's kind of what I would connect it to is very much the American Adventure. You go in there, you wait in a big lobby that's a museum. So there's exhibits to look around, and you can easily just spend some time in the air conditioning theater looking at this cool stuff. So
yeah,
that's number five.
Yeah, that's our number five. Whether or not it's actually a queue because it's just a lobby.
Well, we fought about this for probably 30 minutes or so. I would not necessarily classify it as a queue because you're not waiting up in a certain order. It's kind of just a big group of people looking at masks.
I agree.
It's cool.
But I don't agree.
Okay.
But moving on, our number four, which is finally a queue.
Yeah.
So good for us. E.T. Adventure.
E.T.
There's kind of a catch to this one, though. So you enter E.T. from outdoors, like most attractions, and it's just the queue you go through, and it's all outside, and you're thinking, what is this? Why should I wait outside in the heat for so long? It's terrible. I don't like it. But then all of a sudden, doors open, and you're like, yay, there's a TV screen. There's a pre-show.
Yes. Doors do open and you're let inside.
And Steven Spielberg is there and he's going to tell you about why E.T. Adventure is actually an attraction. And he does a great job at it.
It's more recent than the attraction. It was probably re-recorded from the 30th anniversary, 35, I think, maybe.
So, I don't know. It wasn't that much. But that's neither higher nor there.
Anyway.
So then after that, you're supposed to get your passport card when it works. And that will be used later for a secret surprise. I won't ruin it for you if you've never been on E.T. before, but it's the coolest part.
Well, I've been on E.T., but they never have that thing working, so you can ruin it.
One day it will. I'm not going to ruin it yet. One day it will. You'll see it. But here's the cool, cool part, and that's whenever you get into the forest.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't... The only way to describe it is saying it's a forest. But it's super dark inside, and... You're out from the outside. You might have had to wait 20 minutes outside, and it was really hot and uncomfortable. But then you go inside, and it's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it smells like you're actually standing in a forest.
It does. So it's modeled after the Californian kind of like redwood forest from the movie. I mean, you're in these nice, or maybe it's the Pacific Northwest. I don't know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But it's these nice, really like thick forests, and there's cool things to look at. There's animatronics. There's cool lighting effects. It's really dark, but that makes it better because it's not as hot.
See, I've never actually been all the way through. I didn't know there was animatronics in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
I usually just walk straight onto the ride.
Oh, no. There's a big...
Yeah.
It's cool.
And it's, I mean, obviously, it's dark inside, as we said.
Yeah.
So that's where you get it right there. It's cool inside. It's very cool. It's a great way.
And aside from any of that, it's just a really great attraction.
Yeah. Oh, no.
It's dated, but it's fantastic.
It's great. However, my best part about it, my best part, my biggest gripe is that a lot of times they have you waiting outside so long for the show. Like, I wish they would start really, really packing people in so that way we don't have to worry about like waiting outside and then missing out on the forest part. Like, I would gladly wait 30 minutes inside that cool air conditioned section for E.T.
Yeah, you told me that they typically fill in outside before they open up the queues inside,
and
which doesn't make
sense
to me.
About 5 minutes inside.
Yeah.
And I think that's a sad head thing for E.T., but that's how E.T. made our number four coolest queue.
Number four, yeah.
But number three is one of the newest attractions to come to come to Universal Orlando, and that's Harry Potter in the Escape from Gringotts.
Yeah, so we talked a bit about this during our Diagon Alley review.
Yeah.
But it's the queue, I feel like, is almost like a ride before you get to the actual attraction.
Mm-hmm.
You walk through Gringotts Bank, So you get to go past the goblin bank tellers.
Yeah.
And they're all animatronics. They, you know, they make noises. They kind of respond to you. I think their eyes, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But then you get to the end, and then you walk through, and then you get into kind of the office section where there's the office buildings, and they have things to look at. So there's like animatronics behind the office doors. So you can see shadows moving past and...
Yeah, I mean, it might just be lighting effects. I'm not quite sure on the technology behind
it. Animatronics might have been the wrong word, but they have things to look at.
Harry Potter, fake Hermione,
yeah.
And Ron Weasley, they all make appearances in it.
Irma Watson.
And Harry Potter. They all appear in there. Where's that coughing coming from?
I don't know. Someone's coughing in the distance.
I think angels are bowling, but... So they all make their appearance walking down the hallway. It's really well themed.
It's really cool.
You can see goblins that all look the same. Their portraits hanging on the wall.
There are portraits.
Yeah.
Everyone's favorite. And then you get into the elevator that takes you down to the lower vault of Gringotts. And that is what kind of where I'm talking about with this is like an attraction before the ride is you get on this elevator and it does move. I mean, it's not a functioning elevator. I believe it just moves, you know, however many inches off the ground, but it does shake. And then there's lighting effects and kind of visual effects up at the top to make it seem like you are going deep into the vaults of the bank.
Yeah.
So it's just a really cool thing. And then even when you get off the elevator, there's you go through, I forgot, even before you get to the elevator, you get to, Bill's office.
Bill's office.
Yeah.
Bill Weasley.
We're on a first name basis.
Okay. Good for you. But here's the caveat in all this. You do start off outside potentially for a very, very long time, depending on how long the wait is. They built Gringotts so it could hold about, I think, 4,000 people in is the estimated number. And so only for about the last hour of the line are you going to be inside for the cool section.
Okay.
Where you get to see all the animatronics and all of that. So, you know, you're going to have to potentially wait for a long time outside before you do get in.
Uh-huh.
But once you are inside... You have a good hour of seeing awesome stuff.
I agree.
Yep. So that's how it gets to be number three.
Okay.
Number two.
Yes.
Very, very, very cool, in my opinion. Men in Black.
It is cool. So
if you say so.
I mean, I don't have that huge affinity for the movie, but
yeah. But anyways, you see the white building outside and it's part of the World Expo.
That's the part that interests me because it's all built after, like you said, the Expo, kind of the 1964 World Fair type thing.
Yeah.
Where you kind of see these old posters. The architecture is very reminiscent of like the towers with the circular balconies and stuff up at the top. So it looks really nice. And then you go inside the attraction.
For the universe and you.
Exactly.
That's what you think you're going in for.
You're going for an exhibit because you're at the expo, and then something goes awry. Aliens are there.
Of course.
I don't know. Yeah, you need to be trained.
Well, and that's where it all changes. And there is an outside portion to this queue too, like everything, because eventually you have to start outside. But then what I like about Men in Black is that you go inside pretty quickly. You might have a 5 or 10 minute wait outside. But then a lot of the portion of the waiting is once you're inside. And I mean, there is cool things to see, but the best part is the lobby where you have, I haven't seen the Men in Black film in eons and decades.
The classic.
But it's got the two aliens at the computers that are constantly monitoring everything, all the aliens that are happening in the world. And Will Smith pops up on a video screen to do his Will Smith for you thing. Whatever you have
it's a perfect Will Smith impression.
I mean, he and all that. So I'm not going to go there again because I don't do a good Will Smith impression, but
he's up on the screen and he's talking to you and you're excited.
Yeah. And then you go even further from that. That would be good enough. But then you go a little further on and then you start to see some of the weapons and a little bit of other cool stuff. Like you can
see the lab coats,
the noisy cricket. And then finally, right before you get on the ride, it's just a big giant room. Well, but the important part is it's summer. It's hot. It's really, really hot in Florida.
You just want to be inside.
You're inside.
Look at those vents. That's air conditioning coming out of those vents.
If that's not air conditioning, then I don't know what it is.
It's poison. It's not poison.
So that's how Men in Black earns our number two spot for the best queues.
Yeah, I really agree with this. I like that one.
However, the number one is by far, it's the number one. It's Revenge of the Mummy. This is just a really cool cue because it is all indoors. So there is one tiny fraction of a portion that you go through that, as the
doorway
you can see,
is outside.
You go into the door and then you automatically come right back outside for 15 seconds and then you go right back in. And I mean, it is really, really dark to the point that we can't take pictures in there. If you were, I mean, with a flash, but
no, even with ET, we didn't mention that, but
yeah, we didn't mention that.
It's too tough. You just got to experience it for yourself.
Yeah, yeah. But it's really dark. It's really dungeony in there. The best thing I can relate it to for Disney fans would be kind of Indiana Jones Adventure.
Exactly.
In Disneyland.
Yeah.
And it just looks like an archaeological dig site because that's the point of the first Mummy movie.
Yeah. And I love that kind of archaeological stuff. Yeah. So it's if you like Egypt, I mean, it's a very sandy kind of cue. There's cool stuff to look at. They're at a dig and they're looking for mummies and they're looking for, I don't know, what else is in that movie? Some kind of amulet, I think.
A lot of Egyptian things.
They're looking for King Tut. Rachel Weisz is there.
It's tchotchkes.
Not Rachel Weisz. What's her name?
Rachel Weisz.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was thinking of Diane Wiest.
Yeah, you were thinking of the German pronunciation of it.
Weisz.
No, it's really cool in there. And way back, whenever we were doing a show, I was telling a secret about how there's this one interactive element where if you put your hands on both sides of this giant block thing in the middle of a room and you did it 5 times, it would do the NBC jingle, kind of dong, bing, 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 bing. Yeah. And
I don't believe this still, but one day I'll see it.
It happens. So you're going to have to believe in it.
Okay.
There's just a lot of awesome stuff. And then you get on the ride and you go all the way through. And then, you know, if you're not happy with the ride, right before it ends, you have Brendan Fraser.
I was going to say Brendan Fraser.
He's America's sweetheart. He is, George of the Jungle. A Blast from the Past.
All those classics.
I mean, yeah, he might not be doing much anymore, but his soul lives on at Universal Orlando in The Revenge of the Mummy. But I mean, there's the one problem, and I'm going to be blunt about it, and I'm sorry if I offend anyone with this, but the only problem with Revenge of the Mummy is that whenever you're in there and it's cool and everyone's relaxed, but then someone inevitably farts. And of course, it stinks in there then. Well, I mean, this happens everywhere, obviously.
You've got the humidity. You've got the darkness. So you can't really place the blame, but it just kind of lingers.
It lingers in these buildings. So the one hand, we have an indoor attraction, but at the same time,
it's going to turn into a stink chamber eventually.
And I hate to go with fart jokes and stuff like that to appease to our audience, but don't fart in lines. No one likes it.
We could say that for anything, really. E.T., no farts.
But, of course, anyway, that is our top five coolest cues list. But, of course, there's so many awesome things at Universal. Everything is awesome.
But we have some honorable mentions,
honorable mentions.
Yeah, because we got some other cues that didn't quite make the cut, but they're still cool.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So our number three on that, Poseidon's Fury.
Obviously. Along the same kind of lines as the Mummy, you've got this kind of archaeological site, even though this one's in Greece or the Lost Continent. I'm not sure. Some vague Mediterranean place. And they're looking for, like, murals and a ghost wind and all that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, with that one, there's not even a lot to see. It's just...
It's dark. And it's
very
nice.
Dark.
Air-conditioned.
For some reason, you don't ever move through that line. You just end up staying stagnant in there for a very, very long time. And I don't understand what's happening throughout all this, but it doesn't move. So that's on the level that I like what's inside, but at the end of the day, it's just really cool. It's a really good place to escape the heat, like we all want to do, especially when you don't want to wait an hour to get on a water ride.
You're right.
So
yeah,
number two on our honorable mention, I think it goes without saying. So let's move on to number one.
It goes without saying because I can't see it.
So let's go to number one then.
Okay.
I'm joking. Number two, The Amazing Adventures of Spider-Man.
Yes, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. I didn't see
that's a spider.
There.
Yeah.
If he was Spider-Man, he'd be a lawyer.
Exactly.
So The Amazing Adventures of Spider-Man, you go into the Daily Bugle. and there's offices set up with the greatest PC computers.
State of the art.
Yeah. I mean, they're
really state of the art.
They're not real.
Yeah.
But well, it's set up like an office, and you get into a room, and then they show like all these related clips to it of why the ride's happening with all the Spider-Man villains.
Lots of Tobey Maguire, lots of Kirsten Dunst.
Not that one. The good Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
Not the Andrew Garfield.
Emma Stone.
Not that one. We're going strictly with the
cartoons. These are the actual comic books. Let's say comics.
Yeah. The comics slash cartoons. The ones you see on TV and you can easily access on Netflix. So it's a nice another way to beat the heat, like all of these.
Yeah.
If we still have to reiterate what this is about.
You just want to get inside.
Yeah. It's a good place to wait, and it's a fun ride at the end. Our number one honorable mention that just barely didn't make the list. It would have, except I put up a fight on this one because it's not a really big amount of time indoors. You spend more time waiting outdoors than indoors, and that's Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey.
This was one of my big ones because I love the design. I love the content. I love being inside Hogwarts Castle.
Yeah.
I love that whole castle tour. I love all of that.
Yeah.
But you I guess it's mostly outside. You can spend hours outside waiting.
Yeah, you can. A lot of it's outside in the garden area and the greenhouse. And, you know, you think a greenhouse, there's going to be shade.
Not a greenhouse.
No, it just...
Greenhouse is dying.
Well, it's a fake greenhouse.
Yeah, okay.
It's not a real greenhouse. But, yeah, it just ends up like you boil in there because of this cover over. So it ends up being really odd. Once you get inside, it's cool. But you only have about 20 minutes inside.
Exactly.
And most of the time in the summer, you're talking about a 60 to 90 minute wait. So
it's less cool, more cool.
It's...
You could say that.
Okay. The better thing I would say as... I don't know if I've ever mentioned it before. You just mentioned it. Castle tour. So technically you're not going on the ride for that, but you still get to walk through. You get to see everything. You can go at your own pace. So no one's saying you have to run through there and look. And this is from everything I've ever seen. Anytime I've been there, people just say, I want a castle tour, run through. And then they don't look at anything. They don't experience it.
I don't get that. What's the purpose of that?
If you really wanted to, you could spend a good half an hour in there looking at all the details with no one pushing you because they want to get on the ride that they've been waiting an hour for.
Yeah.
And I mean, granted, that's an attraction in itself, doing the castle tour.
That's typically what I do because I can't ride Forbidden Journey.
Yeah.
It makes me sick. So,
But it almost made the list.
It's on my list.
Didn't.
Yeah.
But then... I mean, obviously, that was number one for our honorable mentions, but I think
we have
this is one special case where we need to make a dishonorable mention.
Okay.
And I hate to break it to a lot of people because I myself am a fan of Transformers The Ride 3D, but I think if someone sat right beside me and hit me on the head with a hammer continuously, that would be more enjoyable than walking through this line.
Okay. That's a strong statement.
It is so loud.
Yeah.
Because Decepticons are invading the Earth looking for the AllSpark. And so clearly that means there needs to be lots of military sounds and sirens going off, and you got to play briefing videos. And yeah, it is neat inside. It looks like a military base, a secret military base. And
it's not so secret when there's a giant robot on the outside.
Well, that's being a little bit obvious. Yeah. But I love Transformers. The movie's terrible, but they are one of my secret guilty pleasures.
Not so secret.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
I guess I just kind of let the cat out of the bag on that one.
No, I understand what you're saying. So it's like the noises, and it's like crazy. And I was there the other day, and the line was huge outside.
Yeah.
There's a lot of outdoor waiting time for this.
Oh, no, there is a ton of it.
So this is one of the worst queues.
No, I won't say that. There's a ton of outdoor waiting. There's a lot of indoor waiting. It's just once you get in, it doesn't need to be that loud. You don't need all this going on around you. I mean, it's like they took Twister and they put it in the queue. And the only thing that you're not hearing 100%
less
cows.
Bill Paxton.
Oh, what?
And a little bit less Helen Hunt. I think she's in there a little bit.
I don't even know what to say to you.
Well, you can laugh because it's funny.
Okay. The point is, I mean,
I know you hate it. Okay. Or you kind of like it. I don't know what you're just saying.
I like the movie. I love the ride. I could ride it until it makes you sick. And
once.
It's great, but this queue is insufferable. Terrible. Right. Like, I could put in earplugs and just walk through and I'd be happy.
It sounds like Old Test Track to me.
So, very, very similar to that.
All right, so let's,
very similar to that. But that's our entire list on that. Definitely the top five. Okay. Check that out if you want to beat the heat.
And I mean, I wouldn't put these on your list and say, hey, guys, we got to hit these queues because I heard they were the coolest.
Yeah.
However, if you're warm in the park and it's the summer and you say, you know what, I really need to get out of this heat. Let's go in one of these queues.
And I want to stress, don't even do this just purely because we said the queues are cool. Don't say I'm doing queue the ride. Don't do that. Actually experience what
that's opening up next year, I think.
Universal does a really good job, especially lately, of trying. I'm going to flat out say it. They've been trying to one up Disney in a way on what they were doing with lines for the longest time. I mean, Disney has a lot of really good queues. Expedition Everest. I'll even argue Toy Story Mania. I mean, that's why that line goes out the door, because people won't stop taking pictures and it backs up. They're Disney.
They've got those interactive queues now, and
but Disney is so well known for making these queues that just put you in it. I mean, think back to Pirates of the Caribbean. How long?
Oh no,
they
That you're just, in the bottom of a fort and you're going in. Yeah,
yeah. And Universal definitely took that concept, ran with it, and now with stuff like Gringotts, and we didn't even mention Hogwarts Express. That you walk into King's Cross Station,
it is
from what you said, it's literally spot on.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah,
it's absolutely beautiful. I wouldn't put it on this list though, only for the fact that it's outside.
Yeah,
and it's hot, but it's beautiful. I mean, these queues are really amazing. But
so there's definitely a level that Universal sets with its queues to try to entertain you during these long waits, and that's why it's important. See the queues. Don't go specifically for the queues. Go for the stuff at the end of it. But that is our coolest queues in the summer.
Yeah.
So I think that is basically going to do it for us on this week's episode. Sorry, we don't have any fun games for you, but
we'll make up for it. Don't worry.
We just decided you didn't deserve it this week.
That's awful.
It is awful. Just like us. But, thanks.
Yeah, I just want to say, let us know what you think with hashtag DizUnplug. I'm sorry, DizUniversal.
Yeah, sorry, because we didn't talk about the game. Use hashtag DizUniversal. Tweet at us.
Just write tell us
on
your
Facebook.
Comments. Yeah.
Let us know what you think of us. And we will, of course, be back next time for another episode of the DizUnplugged Universal Edition. Thanks for watching, everyone. Thanks for listening. See ya.